This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, Peter Peeps? Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the PeterCast presented by BetUS.com, part of FanSided Network. As we get ready, week 13 upon us now, the Buccaneers looking to make 3 wins in a row as they head to Atlanta to take on the Falcons on Sunday. Steve Carney, Ren Dax, as always with you. Ren, how's your Wednesday going?
It's going great. Steve, thank you for asking. I appreciate it. All's good in the hood.
Yes, we've been talking a lot about how Ren has had, a change in his schedule where he gets up, crack of dawn to get ready to go to work.
Yeah, now. I mean, seriously, like 3 years ago, I was still drinking by the time I have to get up and go to work now. Things have changed.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome to the world of morning drive radio, because that's
I'm on before that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess you would. If you went on at 6, what time would you have to get up to be at the station?
I like to be at the station by 3.
No, what time did you get up? Oh. You'd have to be at the station at 3:30, go on the air at 6?
3:30, yeah. I would.
D'Orlando, is he crazy? Because that's way too early.
Yeah, if you got to be there, you want to be fresh for the morning, folks. That's big drive time, and you got to have those ratings going up.
I did a lot of good preparing at the station, whereas a lot of guys will kind of prep the night before. I tend to try and get as much sleep as possible. So I would go to sleep kind of early. So I would get up. I would get up probably 2:45-ish. I only live 15 minutes from the radio station, so it's not like I would have to drive. It's not like I have to drive an hour to get to work, but I would get there probably 3:30. I was always the one because when the maintenance people make the coffee, it's crap. I like my coffee, so I like to make my coffee at the station. So when they would make the coffee, it was always garbage. So I did that as well. So, and I did all my prep at the station to go on for 6 a.m. So, that's why I like to call it, morning drive, wake up time.
Yeah, but, it is.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that this week, as on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, we brought him in here once, already, actually twice now this season.
Yeah.
This is third time.
We're old friends.
Yes, our good friend D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the past president of the Pro Football Writers Association, one of the smartest guys that I've ever been around. I will not be ashamed to say that. But D. Orlando, I want to start. We've had you on a couple of times now. The Falcons got their 2-game skid snaps last Sunday. They go to Jacksonville. They beat the Jaguars 21-14. But, as nice as that feels to say, okay, at least the 2-game skid is over, that 2-game skid was disgusting. I mean, you got outscored 68-3. Or I should say the Falcons did. They got outscored 68-3 in those two losses. What were they able to do last week against Jacksonville to finally put that behind them?
Well, one, they had to, move on and get used to not playing without Calvin Ridley. And the other thing was they got Cordell Patterson back and was somehow able to gash out 150 yards rushing. So that helped. Jesus. He was able to score a couple touchdowns there running the ball, and that helped immensely. And the opponent helped also. Jacksonville was Jacksonville. They took a field goal off the board when they were jumping over the line, and then they moved it to the 12, and the Falcons scored. So, you know, they gave the Falcons three penalties on third downs that would have, you know, stopped drives, but they, you know, gave them three first downs. So Urban Meyer was like, that's three extra turnovers. So they got some gifts from Jacksonville, and they knew what to do with them. They opened them up and used them. And was able to get out of there with a win.
Hey, don't say that it's just Jacksonville. Buffalo couldn't win in Jacksonville. You know, the Packers lost in Jacksonville, albeit it was to the Saints and not the Jaguars. So people have gone to Jacksonville this year and lost. So as much as you want to say, oh, it's only Jacksonville, don't say it's only Jacksonville, my friend. That's a good quality win on the road.
Well, yeah, and they got some help, Steve. They got some help, but they knew what to do with it, and that's progress.
Okay. When you were on the second time, I asked you a question after week one, because the Falcons got spanked by the Eagles, and, you know, we were expecting sort of this scoring machine out of Atlanta and the defense to be, you know, a little bit improved, you know, optimism, all that, week one. My first question was like, what the hell happened? Now, you know, season's half over, more than half over. And so what the hell's happened? Like, what's going on? I mean, all the optimism that was there in Atlanta is obviously dashed. So what are the reasons where Atlanta finds themselves where they are now?
Well, one of them is when they are 5-2 in one score game. So they've been able to eke a couple of out, you know, three game-winning field goals against the Jets, Giants, and the Saints. You know, they have to throw a 64-yard bomb after they blew a 19-point lead to get back a field goal range to pull out that game. But they did it. And, you know, they beat Miami, which is probably their best win, is a win over Miami when Kyle Pitts has to go for 163 yards receiving there to pull that one out. So, you know, they thought they were going to have Calvin Ridley, but they don't. So they've got Cordarrelle Patterson, the kickoff returner, and they're playing him at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah.
And that's working for them. And, you know, Russell Gage is doing a little bit, and Kyle Pitts is commanding double-team bracketed coverage. So, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson is making the most out of that. So, you know, they've cobbled together a little offense here, just enough to, you know, beat some of the bad teams in the league. And, you know, otherwise they get blown out by the other teams. The four that I'm missing, there are four losses that I'm missing, and those were blowouts.
Why are they getting blown out?
Because they're not very good along the
period.
Along the front line specifically, the blocking and the inability to rush the passer, you know, hurts them when they play good teams.
I was going to ask you mentioned Kyle Pitts is commanding double teams now because he is the guy in the passing game now. You know, you mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson, but they've been using him in the backfield a lot as well. So, you know, as a rookie, how do you think Kyle Pitts has handled transitioning without Calvin Ridley there to being the guy in the passing game?
Yeah, he's been doing pretty good. You know, the numbers are, you know, 43, over 600 yards, one touchdown. You know, you've seen some disconcerting things where he, you know, may give up at the top of the route because he thinks he's out to play. I looked it up. He's only got two drops out of 75 targets. So, wow. You know, he's doing a great job for a rookie that's getting all this attention. And, you know, the numbers might not be what the fantasy people want. He has been, had over 62 yards receiving in the last five games, but he's pulling people away from other folks. So the coach's philosophy is, hey, if they're doubling him, then somebody else has got to be open. And so that's right. How they're playing it right now.
we talk about Pitts, and I want to ask, you know, Steve asked, but I want to ask, like, how is he doing? And it seems, you know, like you said, he's doing great, especially for all the attention he's getting. Got 163 yards in the Miami game. And then we, you know, excuse me, and you got Matt Ryan, and then, of course, Cordell Patterson, you know, probably the biggest surprise in the league as far as, you know, output. Guy was a kick returner almost out of the league a couple times, and like you said, the Falcons have found a great way to use him. Running back, wide receiver, I heard now he's like he's playing backup safety or practicing at backup safety in practice. And so, I mean, maybe he'll get a little playing time there. But who else has, you know, after those two guys, who else is sort of getting the lion's share? Who are the Falcons leaning on offensively to get the ball down the field or punch it in when they're in the red zone?
You got a couple other people, you know, kind of no names. Tajay Sharpe's a guy that helps move the sticks on third down, okay. Wide receiver. You know, you got Russell Gage, mentioned him. And, you know, the tight end, Lee Smith, has been helpful. The blocking tight end has been a surprise target inside of the red zone. Keith Smith, the fullback, out of the backfield as a check down guy. Mike Davis has been a help in pass protection and in the red zone, too. He has a red zone touchdown, to his credit. So it's just a bunch of the guys that are chipping in to help out. And they're probably their best weapon is the field goal kicker.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss. So Younghoe Koo has been an asset to this team, this young team. So when they stall in the red zone, he comes in and, you know, at least gets 3 points on the board for them.
I wanted to ask you this, D'Orlando, because this is really big pick. This is a really big picture one, because when I saw it, I was kind of shocked. You know, the Falcons being 5-6, but they're 1-4 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's actually 0-4 because the one win was in London.
Oh, that's right.
We asked Coach about it today. He kind of got indignant. You know, it was like, well, we played tough, but I've been here long enough. They haven't played well in the new stadium. We're still trying to figure out why they tore the Georgia Dome down, because that stadium used to rock. This stadium's a big old palace, and the people haven't, you know, been coming either. So they don't have a home field advantage. And, you know, there were games last year where they had to go silent count at home because the Bears fans were too loud. So it hasn't been a home field advantage. It was big for the city, got us the Super Bowl, have an SEC championship game, got some playoff games coming here in the future, maybe a World Cup. But for the hometown Atlanta Falcons, the new stadium has not been a good friend.
Well, to talk about the new stadium, or something I saw on Twitter today, and I thought it was pretty cool, and I just, you know, this is not football related, we're going to, you know, sort of switch lanes here real quick. I guess they have some sort of machine that you can design your own Super Bowl ring there at the stadium. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if you did it.
I would. Do you get one like if you're leading after 3 quarters?
The leading after 3 quarters ring. Design your own.
A 28-3 ring.
Yeah. No, it was a kiosk and had like a big, you know, TV screen in front of you, and you kind of push buttons and design your own Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl ring. I just, you know, I thought it was a pretty cool thing, you know, talking about the new stadium. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we've nicknamed it here, and you know, Bucks fans, I should say, have nicknamed it like Fairytaleville or Fairytale Land. But you know, that's just us being mean and cocky because, you know, we're on top right now.
That's right. But it took a while.
It did. I've been a Bucks fan since year one. It has taken very, very long time. Let's switch to the defense. It was sort of, you know, most people thought at the beginning of the year that was going to be the Achilles heel. If Atlanta was going to go anywhere, the defense had to be much improved. Report card so far.
Yeah, report card so far is, you know, it was a work in progress. We will give them a C, C minus C, regular C, because, you know, they've been average. They're not in the top 16 in any categories. They have been able to play respectable pass defense. A.J. Terrell is turning into a player at cornerback. Grady Jarrett's up front doing his thing. And you're just seeing bits and pieces of Dante Fowler here and there. So he's dealing with, he had another injury, a hyperextended knee that cost him 3 games. So, you know, just steady. They just are trying to slow you down and then, you know, maybe stop you in the red zone if they can and just keep you out of the end zone, make you kick field goals. So it's a very much a bend and not break operation, which has been good against, you know, the likes of Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones. And they did okay against Mac Jones, too. They had it. It was a 13-point game going into the fourth quarter. Not so good against Dak Prescott and Tom Brady and some of the other elite quarterbacks that they faced. Or even Jalen Hurts. He lit them up pretty good, too. So it's a work in progress, but they've been playing a lot better here lately.
I want to ask you, because you talked about the defense and especially up front, one guy they haven't had is Jonathan Bullard. He didn't play last week. He didn't practice today with the ankle issue. If he doesn't play again this week against the Bucs, how does that change Atlanta's outlook on the, especially interior D-line wise?
Well, they've got a guy, Anthony Rush, who's a 300.
It's a good name.
Yeah, Rush. You need some Rush up front. And they got some, and his name's Anthony. he made a big fumble. He's a nose guard. He's like 350, 360, so he's hard to move. Woo! So the linebackers like him a lot. Yeah. He'll get more snaps with Bullard out, and they'll slide Tyler Davidson down the line a little bit. So they get a little bigger, a little stouter against the run with him, and he's been doing a pretty good job. Then they have a Mike Pinnell coming off the bench, and a rookie, Tyquan Graham, who played at Texas. So they like the five-man tackle rotation that they roll up front with.
I ask this question every week to everybody we have on. If you break the defense down to defensive line, off-ball linebackers, corners, and safeties, who do you think is playing the best out of those four units for the Falcons right now, or have been most consistent at least?
The most consistent has been the linebackers, the off-ball linebackers. Foye Oluokun, Deion Jones, and Mykael Walker came in for Deion last week and did a good job. Mm-hmm. And then the outside linebackers, O.J. Ade Ogundeje, a rookie, who's he's not making a lot of splash plays, but he's not getting beat up out there. And then on the other side, Brandon Copeland, James Balters, and then Fowler is back. So you got four guys rotating at outside linebacker. And they got Steven Means back this week. And he's just an edge setter. Rush guy doesn't get, beat up. He holds his own and let the linebackers come make plays. So he's back at practice, and he's got his 21-day window open for his return to the roster.
Okay.
On the other side of the ball, this is something you wrote today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D'Orlando, about the center position that they're rotating between Matt Hennessy and Drew Dahlman. Now, most quarterbacks don't like having a different butt that they got to put their hands next to get the football. But why do they feel that that's the best way for them to work offensively with having two different guys snapping back to Matt Ryan?
Well, Matt Hennessy was drafted by Thomas Dimitroff for them, so he wasn't their center. They drafted Dahlman in the fourth round this year, and they thought he was a second rounder. But he couldn't beat Hennessy out in training camp. So now they're giving him another chance to beat him out because Hennessy's been serviceable. I'll be nice about it. He hasn't, been able to push anybody around. They couldn't run the ball on short yardage situations. So they think Dahlman's a better option there for the run game. So they started rotating them last week, and we'll see if that continues here against Tampa on Sunday.
Yeah, Dimitroff put a lot of, day one, day two equity in the offensive line, and a lot of those guys, besides Matthews, I guess, you can say haven't really panned out. Is this something you think going forward? It's an overall question. You think this is something going forward that, you know, this new regime in Atlanta is gonna continue that, the putting early draft capital until they get it right, or are they gonna hit free agency? Like, it needs to be fixed. I mean, you know, it's more and more frustrating for a fan base to see you keep pumping in high draft picks and never kind of getting the problem fixed. Is that, would you say, I mean, Atlanta has a lot of holes in the roster, but would you say, like, a number one, is that something they're going to be looking at, like, going forward?
Yeah, I very much think so, given the general manager is coming from the Saints, and, you know, he had a perspective on his line, knew that Cam Jordan and his line dominated him for you know, most of the last 5 years, half decade at least. So, you know, the one other one, Chris Lindstrom's solid. So you're okay there. So whether if you got a draft, you got to draft smart, or, you know, find some people in the second round, third round, you know, free agency. They don't have any money. They're not going to have any money for 2 years because of Matt Ryan's contract. So you're going to have to find guys off of rosters that are, you know, veterans that are, you know, serviceable or better, that are better than your guys. So, it's a project that they're going to throw, you know, what resources they have financially and draft capital to get it corrected.
Well, the good news is if an organization knows how to draft offensive linemen, it's the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, Ramchek comes to mind.
Armstead. They're McCoy. They got last year, who flip-flops at center guard. He's real good, and their guards are more than serviceable as well. So, good news from there. Do you have your kicker question, or did we already answer that?
I don't have a kicker question, but I am kind of curious, how has the fan base been handling the Calvin Ridley thing? I mean, I think a lot of us understand when you have personal things that you have to deal with. You know, if you're worried about your mental well-being, especially playing a game like being in the National Football League. But I also know fan bases like when their teams are winning, and Calvin Ridley is a big piece that could help this team win a couple of, not be 5-6, but maybe be, you know, 7-4 or the likes. You know, how has the fan base been in dealing with, you know, Ridley's I guess sojourn away from the team?
Yeah, they've been you know, pretty accepting for the most part. You know, I know I do that update every Monday because, you know, they're not telling us much. So, but when we post that update, it's got the most page views and clicks on our Facebook page. And so I take a glance in there to get the pulse of the fans. And they're like, hey, we got to trade him. We got to get rid of him. You know, hey, it's not like, hey, we wish him well. You know, it started out like that. But now that it's a month into it, it's like, okay, we need to trade him. We need to get what we can for him. I hope they don't pick up the fifth-year option. You know, it's kind of taking a turn to the negative side of the street as the holdout, or as the what do we call it, the sabbatical for to deal with his mental well-being. As that gets longer, the comments have gotten crueler.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes, you know. Yeah. At first, you know, you're all behind him, yes, be well, and then now it's like, hey, man, you're taking up a roster spot, and we're losing, you got to go. But, yeah, that's just, it's such a, you know, it's such a delicate situation, and it's something that, you know, the National Football League really hasn't had to deal with. You know, he's, and taking like all the emotion out of it, but he's still getting paid and he's not injured. And, you know, it's just one of those things where something I always say is, you know, the reason some like social programs don't work is because there's somebody always out there who's going to take advantage of it. And you got to sort of close all those loopholes, or it's going to bleed money and it's not going to work the way it's supposed to be. And potentially, again, taking all the emotion out of it, not saying Calvin really did this or anyone do it in the future, but you can just say, I don't feel well mentally, and take a year off and get paid for it. I mean, there's no, you know, I'm not saying it, you know, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying the way the rule is set up now in the NFL, it's just a whole new different situation. So, I mean, I don't want to say like they're gonna have a problem on their hands in the future, but it's something that, you know, if they were smart, they would sort of start coming up with some sort of language to at least put some kind of reins on that. I mean, I don't know, like doctor's note. I you know, what do you do?
Yeah, I think he's on the non-football injury list, which I think allows them to not have to pay him.
Okay, so, I apologize for saying all that then.
And he's five games in, and for him to get an accrued year under the CBA, he has to play six games.
So, oh, that's right.
I'm his agent. I got to roll him back out there week 17 at the very minimum. So,
right, and that goes, and that's because of going towards your pension, right?
Yes, and that's
at 7 years.
It starts a little bit earlier than that. Four, and then it escalates. You know, the amount you get escalates the longer you're in the league.
Okay.
His fifth year option would be pushed back into a 6 year if he doesn't come back and play at least one game, or at least active for one game, or placed on IR. He's got to be on another one of these lists for at least one game.
I didn't know that. So since he's played four, and we'll just say he's opted out. Mm-hmm. So his fifth year option would be pushed back another year, because this year would basically be a wash on the books.
Yes, right.
Ah,
right.
That's interesting.
Yes. So, you want to be respectful.
Yes.
Of, you know, his situation, but you know, there is still a business side to the league, and mm-hmm. He's a game short on the business side right now.
So do you think the organization wants him not to come back so they could push that off till they could see him for a whole year before they decide to go with the fifth year option? Plus it gives them another year to get out from under Matt Ryan's contract.
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't posed that to them. But, yeah, there are definitely some benefits for them to not bring him back this year. You know, you get 2022 and 23, you know, as the fourth and fifth years of the – and, you know, he's got to be productive there if you want to keep him. I mean, you still pay him a pretty big salary in that fifth year. I want to say $12 million off the top of my head, 12 to 14. So you want to make sure you're getting the football player back too.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I just, you know, I love when these conversations go organically. You know, this is something I really would have thought about, but then it just raised some interesting questions. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to be, you know, those are the things that, you know, spark my interest the most, to see how these like one-offs or first-time types of things are handled, you know, not only by the league, you know, rule-wise, but now we add in this extra layer of Atlanta possibly be able to save money, or, you know, and push back other things like that. But anyway, it'll be fun to watch for that perspective. Of course, you know, like you say, I want to be respectful, and I hope he comes back, you know, better than ever, especially mentally. But that's the other stuff I'm just kind of really looking at.
Yeah, and for me, I look at the PA. It's going to say there's no way that they're going to allow that to happen. Knowing the Players Association, they're not going to want to see the Falcons get another year of control of a player that could be either A, going to free agency, or B, should be or should have been a free agent a year earlier.
But how would they defend that?
I would assume that they would file a grievance. And have an independent arbitrator take a look at it and go
rule on it.
Yeah, and have to rule on it that way.
Oh, that's also very interesting.
See, I that's the thing I like as well, the business side of things. That could be real interesting. But on the field,
yes, let's get back to the game.
Yeah, on the field, the Orlando. As we get to Sunday around 4 o'clock-ish, and the clock is hit zero, and the Falcons find themselves back at 500 at 6-6, how do they do it?
Well, that would have been a outstanding game. They would have run the ball and kept Tom Brady off the field, got a lead early, maybe by attacking the Tampa Bay cornerbacks, which, you know, that's the beat-up group. They'd have to have blocked up front for that to happen, though. So, you know, the big thing for them their formula would be to get a big enough early lead, you know, maybe bigger than 28-3, and then hold on there and run the ball and run out some clock there. They got to play an old school football game to win this one and win the slugfest up front.
I agree.
Yeah, it you, if you look at how the Bucs have lost games, that's how they've lost games for the most part this year. They've had teams attack the corners and keep Tom Brady off the field. So yeah, I certainly can see that. You got anything good coming up on the Bowtie Podcast?
Yeah, well, we posted the one today. It was how can the Falcons shock the world?
There you go.
So we talk about we go over the Bucs offense, defense, and special teams, and then we look at the statistical comparisons and basically say, you know, Falcons going to need everybody on the roster to do everything to stop Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially stop Leonard Fournette and Rob Gronkowski. Mike Evans is a load. You got A.J. Terrell over there for that. But then Chris Godwin kills you in the slot. So they got a lot. They got to stop. We talked about it on the Bowtie Chronicles that came out this morning on how can the Falcons shock the world.
Yeah, I mean, I remember those years as being a Bucs fan. Like, yeah. Well, if everyone plays their best game and we don't turn the ball over and we don't have any penalties – we might win.
Yeah, you got to block two punts.
Yeah, there you go. If we get two special teams score, return a touchdown, their quarterback goes Matt out Bryant in the first quarter.
And can Matt Bryant miss a kick or two?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was back when it was. Dear Orlando, great stuff as always. I really enjoy talking to you. I'm so glad Steve pulled your name. I kind of wish that you were more of an all NFL guy so we could have you on every week. Seriously, love to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Ren. I appreciate you all reaching out and having me on the podcast again.
No problem.
Thank you so much, D. Orlando. Have a great holiday as well.
All right. You all do the same, Ren and Steve. Take care, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You betcha. See you, D.
That is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He is the best guy to talk football with in the NFL.
It's just so easy to talk to.
I know. He's so much fun. I was thinking, you know, we probably would do 15 or 20 minutes, and here we are, a full half an hour in, and we probably had, I know I had like five or six more things I could have asked him about it, but it just seems like the conversation is always so good when we have D. Orlando Ledbetter on, and definitely check him out. Check out the Bowties Chronicle. That's his podcast, and of course, everything on AJC.com, and you can follow him on Twitter. It is at D Orlando AJC. He's a sure thing.
There you go.
You know, if you're betting on something, D Orlando Ledbetter is a sure thing. Much like Ren's early success.
Yes, very early
here. thanks to BetUS.com. Not so much lately.
No.
Took the Eagles in his parlays last week.
Yeah,
that was a bad idea.
It was a good idea.
It was a bad, good idea.
Poor execution.
Good process, bad outcome, as they like to say. But don't let that stop you. Ren's been doing well this year. I've gotten better. I actually took the week off from BetUS. I didn't bet anything in week 12. I might go. I'm going to get back on the horse here this week, and I'll let you know what those picks are later on in the week. But BetUS.com is the sponsor of the PeterCast, and they have been paying out their winners now for 27 years. And of course, with football still in full swing, NFL and college, you got the conference championship games going on. You've got Army Navy coming up. And then, of course, the college football playoff and all the bowl games. Those are on BetUS.com. You've got the NBA and the NHL regular seasons in full swing as well. You can bet on the UFC. And, of course, Ren's favorite, the ponies, the Rumble Ponies.
The Rumble Ponies. what's their city again?
The Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
The Binghamton. Where's that, Indiana?
No, it's in New York.
Alaska?
No, it's just
Saudi Arabia.
It's an hour south of Syracuse.
That doesn't help me at all.
In New York.
I don't know where anything in New York is. Like I know like Albany's upstate, but I don't know. Like
if you go about an hour and a half west, you'll reach Syracuse, and then an hour south of Syracuse is Binghamton.
Okay. So, starting from where? Albany?
Starting from Albany.
Okay.
So
and that's Albany, all north of the city.
All north of the city, yes.
All right. Okay.
So but
the you end. Can, you're welcome, yeah. listeners.
Exactly. Again, with BetUS.com, you can bet on the ponies. Maybe not the Rumble ponies right now because minor league baseball is not going on. But through the PewterCast, you can get a little extra scratch to play with as well. If you go to BetUS.com and sign up using the promo code Pewter, that's P-E-W-T-E-R with the letter C and the number 125. And that will get you a 125% sign-up bonus. So if you sign up, use the promo code. Again, that's Pewter, the letter C, and the number 125. Deposit $100. You get $125 in sign-up bonus. So you'll actually have $225 to play with on BetUS.com. They've got great they've got all the knowledge banks there. Like, you've got all the latest news, and you can get all up to date on, so you are making the most informed bets possible as well. And it's real easy to do. I can do it on my phone. I know Ren's done it on his phone.
I always do it on my phone.
It's you can do it on your laptop if you don't want to use your phone. You can always do it on the laptop as well, or you can actually do it on the phone at 888 my bet US. Again, betus.com. You bet, you win, you get paid with BetUS. They are the best place to support the PewterCast.
They are.
It's the number one spot. If you want to support this podcast, go to Bet.
Because when you give them money, they give us money.
Exactly. And that way you're not giving us your money. They're giving us their money.
And you have a chance to make more money.
That's right. And you can get money off of them.
Yeah.
As well. Again, you bet.
Everyone's
you
pilfering bet. I don't know how they stay in business.
You bet, you win, you get paid with BetUS.com.
The thing that struck me the most from what Orlando said, well, I want to say, like we usually say, what surprised you the most? This is what I got out of this. When I asked about, you know, like you take the four levels of the defense, which one's playing better? And he said, you know, I said off-ball linebacker, but he included the edge rushers in that. And there wasn't, like, the edge rushers, there wasn't a lot of splash with the edge rushers. Obviously, it's you know, their middle linebacker, Deion Jones, that's right? Deion Jones, he's one of the best in the league. He talked about some other guys I never heard of. That's fine. I'm a Bucks fan, don't care. He knows what he's talking about. But without talking about the middle, you know, when he didn't say the defensive line, that means that they're not getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because, and if they're not getting a lot of pressure up the middle, then Brady's going to have a field day if he's accurate early. He'll always find it. He always finds it eventually. But if he starts off accurate early and having, you know, that safe haven be able to step up in the pocket, even if he has to, again, since he really only have one defensive back, AJ Terrell, who has, you know, is blossoming into one of the best corners in the league, but he can't cover everybody. You know, so I think that's what spoke the most to me out of everything D'Orlando said, was like, oh, they can't get pressure up the middle, which means, oh, yay, like plus, plus, plus for the Buccaneers offense on that.
I think the thing that surprised me is when it comes to the fact that the Falcons don't have a home field advantage in that new palace of a stadium. He was quick to point out that yes, they're 1-4 in home games, but one of those home games was the London game, and that's the game that they won. They are 0-4 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year, which just blows my mind because you remember. When the Bucks would go to the Georgia Dome, and I certainly remember doing games from the Georgia Dome, where like it was just absolutely nuts. Like, that place was an absolute asylum sometimes. They were so loud and raucous, and now they're just quiet.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on what Atlanta fan base is, because they're sort of notorious for not supporting their teams. You know, and I don't mean like they never show up, but, you know, there's, you know, obviously the tier one, you know, sports towns, you know, like, it doesn't matter what the Red Sox are doing. Like, they're going to sell out, you know, and they're going to sell out all season long. It doesn't matter, you know, like what the Oklahoma Sooners are doing or the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And, you know, you can kind of, I know I'm cherry picking and go around here, but like, their basketball team, even when they were good, like, their attendance wasn't great. Like you talked about how, like, the Georgia Dome, you know, was rocking, and I'm sure it was, but there's also times where it's like the easiest place to get a ticket, you know, of all the away games for the Bucks, because, like, sometimes they just don't show up. So I don't understand, like, I don't understand how good a team has to be before they show up. I don't know where their love is. You know what I mean? Like, is 500 good enough for the Falcons for people to start to show up? Apparently not, because they win this game, they will be, you know? So do they have to be, like, do they have to be, you know, in the division lead for people to show up? And then I think it's different for basketball, because I think it's a bigger basketball town than a football town. And then hockey, like, I have no idea whatsoever if they draw or not.
Hockey, they were so bad that the team left.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
What are they now? Are they the Kraken?
No, that team is now the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, they went back to... I knew...
There was a team in Winnipeg. That
right, okay. Now, I didn't know that the team in Winnipeg ever left. Yeah. Well, I will say, and I've always said this, I think that's the best nickname for a hockey team. The Jets. Because of, you know, how fast it is and everything. I think that's a great nickname for a hockey team.
Yeah.
I understand. Is there any kind of like... Is there an airline industry in Winnipeg?
I think the Canadian Air Force, like, there's a big Canadian Air Force base just outside of Winnipeg in Manitoba. Because, like, it's like fighter jets, not like...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not fast people on skates. Like, it's not a Canuck.
No, but it's not but it's not like Pat, like, they're not showing like G6s, like Gulfstreams, not passenger jets. Like, they're showing like fighter jets.
Yeah.
Like, I think
that would be a terrible nickname for or any sports franchise, the Boeing Superbuses. Like, what?
But here's the thing. I mean, the fan base in Atlanta, I agree with you, can be pretty fickle.
Yeah.
You know, they have been kind of crazy. You know, the Georgia Dome can get wild, and I think they like the fact that they get special events down there.
That's where
I think, you know, having the Super Bowl at the, you know, at the Georgia Dome was always a wild event. Having the NCAA championship, having WrestleMania.
SEC championship's been there for 20 years.
Yeah, the SEC championship game. I think they're big into the special events. Now, the Atlanta Braves, you know, apparently it was so bad. Turner Fields, where they played for, you know, 20 years in downtown Atlanta, was so bad they had to move out to the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, their new stadium is out in Cobb County. It's out in the northern suburbs of Atlanta. So they're not even in, you know, in the city proper, really, anymore. They're not in Fulton County. They're in Cobb County now. But that's where the money is. And so I'd be kind of curious to see how, you know, what the attendance looks like for Sunday's game. You know,
I think Buck fans, I think it's gonna be like he said with like the Chicago game. I think Buck fans are gonna be louder than Falcon fans, especially if we get off to a hot start.
I hope so.
Because I know how that feeling is. Like, you get there and you're a little quiet, but you're amped up and you're just waiting for your team to make a play, and then you're down 10-0 because Jameis has thrown a pick six after you're already down 3-0 after the opposition just went 75 yards to kick a field goal from the 1 yard line. And then, and then Jameis has pick six, and you're down, you're 10-0, and then, like, you don't cheer the rest of the game.
Yeah. And then now you're, you're looking to maybe get in line for the beer line.
Yeah.
Hey, does anybody need me to go through
the same line? Yeah. I'm going to walk around, go to the bathroom and buy a beer. I'll be back maybe
before
halftime.
Yeah. I'm going to go buy a beer. And once I buy the beer, I'm going to go get back in line and drink my beer. So while it's done, by the time I get back to the front of line, I can have a second beer.
I'm going to go to the team store. I'm going to design a Super Bowl ring or you know, winning after three quarters ring.
28-3.
That was pretty heartless.
That was great. I love that that's the first thing that came to his mind. Right. Like, can I get a three-quarter ring?
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I hope some Buck fans go in there and do that and like design like a ring and put like 28-3 on it. You know,
with a dancing Arthur Blank.
Yeah, like almost, you know, like 28-3.
You were close.
Almost SB LL5 LL333111 or something.
That would be way, way too funny. In the comments on YouTube, Ryan Roddy is talking about how state of Georgia, much more a college football state. Yeah, I can understand.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
Number one team in the country. Yeah. And, you know,
see, and that's what I mean. Like, that's not Atlanta, but Georgia. But, like, Athens is packed no matter what the Bulldogs do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not Atlanta.
Yeah, that's Athens as opposed to Atlanta. You know, Georgia Tech is in Atlanta, and they don't draw great there.
We had two hockey teams leave. One went to Calgary and one went to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Atlanta had a team leave, and they put another team in there, and it left again.
And it left again.
And they were both the Thrashers.
No. The first one was the Flames. The Atlanta Flames were first.
And they went to Calgary. Remember them. And became the Calgary. Did Calgary.
Flames were from Atlanta.
But Calgary had a hockey team before the Flames.
No.
Really?
No.
Wow. Okay.
So then Calgary got the Atlanta Flames, and then they put another team in Atlanta, and it didn't draw. And they became the second iteration of the Winnipeg Jets. So twice Atlanta's had a hockey team move back to Canada or move to Canada.
Yeah, that's a pretty fickle fan base.
So there you go.
The end. What else? No, not the end. Let's see. Nothing was too surprising because it's division rival. You know, Matt Ryan's going to be Matt Ryan. You know, if he gets pressure, he's going to throw one up for grabs, you know, one or two a game if you get pressure on him. You know, Cordell Patterson and Pitt seem to be their only offensive weapons, and everyone just kind of fills in to kind of, like, keep the chains moving. You know, when you mention, like, your running back got one red zone TD, you know, I was like, oh, this guy's helping out. He has one red zone TD. Like Fournette got four, like, Sunday. You know, so when you mention something like that as like somebody else who's helping out, it seems to be just sort of like a three-man show, including Matt Ryan offensively.
Yeah, it should be an interesting weekend. You know, for me, I look at this. You know, this is the perfect opportunity. You know, to get another win on the road. And get now, and then you win this game. You're now above 500 away from Raymond James Stadium, and you're also 5-0 at home, and you're putting the pressure on, you know, the Packers and Arizona to stay ahead of those teams,
right?
Or, you know, to try and catch up with them, and all of a sudden now you're looking at, you know, more of a possibility for, you know, being in the driver's seat for the bye.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the Packers finally get their bye. Arizona's had their bye. Arizona's had their bye.
Yeah, Arizona's had their bye.
So the Packers finally get their bye. So, you know, we'll see where we are when things pan out. But, you know, it's everything's, you know, we squeaked by with a win in that Indianapolis game. But we definitely need to win that game. You know, kind of put a lot of bugaboos, you know, theoretically to bed, winning on the road. You know, winning against a team that didn't totally stink, because like the two teams that were half decent we played this year, we lost to. Of course, being the Rams and at the time the Saints. You know, Jameis was still playing, and then who else did we lose to?
Washington.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they just beat. Well, everyone's beating Seattle. It's just weird. That'll happen to Seattle. All of a sudden, you know, Russell Wilson. I guess like when you have a year, he doesn't carry. you know, the team on his back every single game, you're a six-win team, I guess.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happened, is that they have not had Russell. You know, they missed Russell for, was it three or four weeks?
Yeah.
And so now, and what do you expect there? So, oh, goodness gracious. I also think the rotating centers thing, and I saw that, I saw D'Orlando put that out on AGC.com this afternoon. I was like, rotating centers?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, could you ever see Tom Brady dealing with that? Like, you would have Ryan Jensen for two out of every
he'd probably make him pick one.
Yeah.
And say, stick with it.
Like, shocked that Matt Ryan hasn't done that.
Yeah, well, Matt Ryan's always seemed to be, like, you know, a company man to me. You know what I mean? And not trying to call Tom Brady a diva, but he would just, like, put his foot down and go, look, man, like pick one. Or I'm going to pick one. Or, like, this is the one I like better. Like, all his mistakes or whatever, his shortcomings, then I'll make up for him. You know, you kind of feel like that was something Tom Brady would say. But, yeah, I mean, obviously they don't like Hennessy. I mean, that's it. You know, they're like, they're actively trying to replace a guy in the middle of the season, and he's healthy. So, but
not only that, they tried doing it earlier this year, and the guy that they drafted couldn't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, center's a hard position to learn as a rookie. I mean, yes, it's been done, of course, but that's because, like, they're plugged in as number one. They didn't have sort of, like, you know, it's like, this is the guy we got, so we got to roll with him. But having a vested veteran there in front of you gives you sort of that luxury to bring him on until you're absolutely sure. But yeah, splitting time, that's just weird. But, you know, whatever. It's the Falcons. What do you expect? I mean, you know, I just think Arthur Smith is sort of handcuffed right now because I think he wants to be more of like a Titans slash, well, Ravens before this year. Ravens just kind of quit running the ball. Or attempting to do 30 times, but like the Niners and the Colts and, you know, the Titans went back when they had Henry. I think that's what kind of the Atlanta wants to do. They just don't have their running back yet, you know, and they took a shot with Davis and it didn't pan out. And
yeah, and they're having to use Cordero Patterson.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and freakily enough he's probably going to make a Pro Bowl.
He certainly is helping people in fantasy.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh my God!
It's like the return of Michael Westbrook.
Yeah, that's actually a really, really good comparison.
Yeah, that guy was like a fantasy gem that, like, you didn't, like, if you weren't an Eagles fan, you had no idea how good Michael Westbrook was until you had him on your fantasy team or played against him 1 week, and then if you were smart enough to go back and kind of check his numbers, like, that guy was a monster. He'd get like 80 yards a game and then catch like six for another 60 and score like a touchdown. Like, that was like his average. He would win people fantasy leagues and no one ever talked about him. He should have been the number one draft pick for like 6 years in a row.
Yeah, and he wasn't. And then he would.
You get him in the third round.
Absolutely unreal. All right, it is 6 o'clock, so we're going to get on out of here. The plan is to do something on Friday. Yes, if Barry
doesn't, we should do something anyway.
Okay,
do something anyway. Maybe probably a little later in the evening.
Because I have a USF basketball game, so it probably is going to be. I'll probably be at Amalie Arena doing this.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it. I mean, I can wait till you get home, and you know, whatever. We don't have to go live on YouTube; we can just tape it. So, anyway.
Well, you never know. Depends. Pull,
we will TBA?
Yeah. No. TBD.
TBD. TB, yeah. Yeah. So, what's TBA?
That's to be announced.
That's at the airport, right?
TPA is the airport.
What's that stand for?
TPA? That's Tampa International Airport.
No, when
TBA is to be announced.
Is that what they do when they don't know when the flight's coming in?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
we're doing STD.
Exactly. We know we're doing something, but we don't know when, so it is still to be determined.
Yes, that's what I said. Isn't that what I said?
You said, I forget what you said.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always talk Buccaneers football, but if you think your take is too hot, don't want to put it on the Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs, and I will talk Buccaneers Football with you there as well, too.
And you can find me. I am at Steve Carney. I will tell you this, that with Major League Baseball possibly going into a lockout tonight at midnight.
Oh, is it tonight?
Yeah, it's tonight. That's why and we possibly. Were talking about this before. well, no, it looks like it's going to happen because the negotiations have broken off for the day. So it looks like there is going to be a labor work stoppage in baseball.
Another strike for baseball. Yay.
First time in 26 years.
Is it really? I feel like it was like 5 years ago.
Nope, 95. It ended the work stoppage from 94 got all the way into 95 and it ended then. So yeah, 26 years. I am going to be starting a new series of Under the Orange Roof called Baseball Held Hostage. It will be daily and it will start tomorrow.
Didn't Rush Limbaugh do that every time a Democrat was elected? America held hostage day one.
Well, it actually started from the hostage crisis with Iran back in the 70s. That was Americans held hostage day one. That was when Nightline started. So, doing it then. I'm biting off of Nightline and Rush Limbaugh.
Sure.
You can say that. All right.
The hostage situation in Iran is a little heavy.
Hey,
for me.
They're holding the sport away from the fans. I would do it for football too.
If you want to know what's going on in the labor negotiations in baseball, be sure to tune in because Connie will have it covered.
That's right, stp9.com. Thank you to our sponsor, BetUS.com. Thank you to the Fansided Network for hosting this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening on your podcast, subscribe, leave us ratings and reviews wherever you're listening. And until Friday, go buck yourself.